Good morning. Scripture reading will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 3. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. Starting at verse 14 through 18. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, be diligent that ye may be found of peace, of him in peace, without spot and blameless. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brethren Peter, also according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in him of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destructions. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from our own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Unto him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. The church say amen.
Amen.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You doing all right this morning?
Yes.
It's good to see you, each and every one of you. As I was out and about in the stores, they already had the little signs up saying 9 days to that holiday that we know is coming up next week. So that means today is 8 days. So it's getting closer. Another thing that's getting closer is the end of our year. And so we're winding up. We're looking forward to the end of the year and enjoying some time with family. Those of us who are educators, we've got 2.5 more days to see our little darling children, and then we can send them home for a while, and we can go home for a while. And I tell you, as your educator, you earnestly pray and wait for those little holidays. We all mark around 2 more days, 3 more days. Oh, we count them down because we're ready. We are more than ready to go home for a little while. But as we as Christians, as we come together, we realize we have just, 3 Sundays left to be together and enjoy the fellowship with each other. And so we want to make the most of these 3 Sundays that we have left. This week we'll be here, and next week, and the final week. And so we want to make the most, and usually at this time of year we try to say some things to press upon your heart so that you can reflect on this year, but mostly you can be looking forward and set yourselves up for next year. And the book of Peter, we want to look today, and Brother Sanders will be speaking to you this afternoon, so we look forward to hear that brother. I know he's in the Word and studying, and so look forward to hearing what he has to say this afternoon. We're in the book of 2 Peter, and looking at chapter 3. Historically, it's important. 2 Peter is important because whenever somebody says some last words, don't you try to kind of listen to what those last words are? I don't know, when our loved ones get ready to pass, we try to be there with them, and we want to hear what's those last words, or when they're in their declining and dying years, what's the last thing that they would tell us? And usually it's those very last things that they tell us that is very important. Before our Savior left the earth, he said some very important things to those that were with him. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. So those are some very important words. Those were some last words that he would say before he was sent back to heaven. And so we find here in the book of Peter, chapter 3, we find some last words from this great apostle, Peter. And we've watched his walk, we've seen his ups, we've seen his downs. And now here in this book, he's writing to Christians in 1st and 2nd Peter. And he's written this second book. And so now this chapter 3, he's about to bring it to a close. He's about to close it out. And these will be some of the last words he will write to Christians, because after this is recorded by history that he will die a martyr's death, crucified on an egg-shaped cross. But by his request, he asked and requested that he be crucified upside down.
Because in his mind, he felt he was not worthy. He was not in anywhere close to deserving to die anywhere near his master and his savior, Jesus Christ. So he requested that they turn him upside down and crucify him that way. So Peter's going to die a martyrdom's death. He knows the Lord already told him in the book of John. He already told Peter what his end was going to be. He already told him that there would be a time where he wouldn't go where he wanted to go, where he wouldn't move by his own power, that somebody else would carry him and move him about. And he testified unto Peter in the manner in which way he would go. So Peter already fully aware knows. But he writes this book to us, and we're going to be concentrating on the end of that which Peter wrote to us. And so we want to look at and focus your attention on grow in grace and knowledge that he says at the end. But before that, there's a lot of good stuff that we need to get through briefly before we can get to that at the end. Grow in knowledge and in grace. So that's where we're heading. So let's go back here. We've got to go back and look at this. Appreciate Brother Torrance reading into your hearing this morning. Appreciate that. I think it's his first time up. So say amen. Amen. The brother growing in grace and knowledge and upserving. Let's go back to the beginning of this chapter, and let's get the context, because we got to put all this in context with what he's already previously said. Really, we could just start at chapter 1 of 2 Peter, but we don't have, but time and prudence wouldn't allow us to do that today. Now, maybe we get in a Bible class, we'll do that, but today we go back at least to verse 1 of chapter 3. Now, Peter says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So now I want you to get in this image. There's three things that he's talking about. He's talking about the prophets. When did the prophets happen? The prophets happened before. Then he's talking about the words of the apostles, the words that him and the words that Paul, the words that John spoke. Then he's going to talk about, and then the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we've got the words of the prophets. And so if we look at Jesus Christ being the middle and his death on the cross and his time that he spoke, we look at it in the middle. We look at the words of the prophets. The words of the prophets pointed this way and said, somebody's coming. And then we see the apostles on the other end of the New Testament point said, somebody's already here and somebody's come. And then we point to Jesus Christ and his words that says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. So Peter wants us to remember those words of the prophets that came before and the commandments of us, the apostles, and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Meaning, when is he going to come? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Talking about the flood. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He's talking about the future. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Paul's right there. If anybody tells you that they're going to be here and that they're going to come and they're going to inherit the earth and they're going to come down here, they're going to rule for 1,000 years, you say, you have it. If they tell you that, say, go ahead. I hope you enjoy it, Michael. Go ahead. And then you take them to Peter and you tell them what Peter said. The day the Lord's going to come in the thief of the life, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. You want to stay down here, Brother Mahone? You're welcome to have it. I'm going with the Father. Y'all have it. Go on, have it. Don't argue with folk when they tell you that stuff, Brother Maxwell. The book then said this is what's going to happen to the earth. Now, you want to stay down here for 1,000 years, you perish with the earth. But the rest of us, we going on to be with the Father. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godly? See, all these things going to happen. So what kind of person are you going to be in knowledge of that? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Amen. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now he gets down to where Brother Torrance just read. Wherefore, what is wherefore? A therefore points back to what I just said. Therefore, in light of this, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, they rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Peter says a lot here. We don't have time to do diligence to everything. You're going to have to go home, and hopefully I will stir you up and excite you that you will go home and do some studying on your own. I just want to share a few points that Peter makes here. The PowerPoint's real simple, not a lot of stuff today. Peter says in his last words, he's telling us, be diligent, be confident, be on guard, be aware. And then finally grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be diligent. Go back in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. What such things are we looking for? We're looking for the end times. We're looking for those times that are going to come when the elements in the earth are going to be destroyed. So wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found in him in peace without spot and blamelessness. So diligence, that means an effort. It's a spazo. In the Greek, it's a constant effort. We are diligent. We put up forth every effort to make sure. And what does Peter want us to give diligence to? To be make sure that we are found spotless and blameless and with him in peace. See, when you live a life, see, those the life of the sinner. Paul and Brother Greg has talked about this. He talked about the path of the sinner and the way of the sinner. That ain't a good way. How many of you know folk that are sinners living out in that way? Look at them. Are they always in peril? Are they always in turmoil? They always up and they always down. You look at them, they look like what? Life is beating them up. They look wore out. And they look at you and they're like, Mike, how you look so young? Because I'm living a spotless, blameless life. How you look so good, Brother Bob? Because I'm living spotless and blameless. When I'm not out there running and back and forth, burning the candle on both ends and in between, I'm living spotless. I'm living a blameless life. And I'm living so that I can be in peace with my Father and my Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. When you're not at peace, you know how many people out there don't have peace? Yes. Don't have peace. They don't have peace. They're out there still looking for something. They're out there trying this. They're out there trying that. They're out there doing this. Excuse me if I step on your toes. We putting stuff in our heads. We put stuff on our heads. Put stuff in our noses. We put stuff in our ears. We put stuff all on our bodies. You looking for something, you need to find Jesus Christ. Once you put all that stuff on your body, guess what? People that do it, guess what they keep doing? They keep on doing it. You started out with one. Now your whole arm is full with them. You started out with just this. Now you got holes all in your ears. You can't even go through the TSA at the airport without whoop, 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 because you got stuff all over. You done let these folk out here in these shops poke all kind of holes in your body. The body that God gave you, they done poke holes all in them. Putting all this stuff. Why? Because we're looking for something. We're just so bored in life, we got to find some way to
Because we're looking for something. Because we don't have God. We don't have the master and the ruler. When you got him, you don't need all that stuff. You just need his word dwelling in you richly. You don't need all that stuff. But the folk, they looking for stuff. You always looking. And so they live, they don't live a blameless and peaceful life. But for us, Peter said, in view of these things that we know are going to come, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. Okay? Be diligent that you can be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. So we're trying to be blameless. We're trying to live a spot-free life. We're trying to live. That doesn't mean we're not going to fall. We're going to fall. We're going to get back up. Let me tell you this. Let me pause. Let me put another pause in here. In light of some things that have happened, a lot of great folk are falling day by day. The Me Too movement, and the word to us is, don't get on the high horse. You won't have so far to fall. Don't get on the horse. Don't get up there, and don't let people put you up there. You're a Christian, and as you live and you walk out there, and people will have a high estimation, and that's fine if they respect you and they think highly of you, but don't let them put you up on that pedestal. Don't let them put you up there. Because what we're finding out what Paul already told us in Scripture. Paul already told us in Romans 3:23, what did he tell us? All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. It's just some of us have kept it in the closet, and now it's coming out. But see, Paul would never let folk put him up there. Paul always reminded of him, I'm the chief, I'm of sinners, I'm the chief. Paul said, and such was some of you. Paul took the Corinthians and them back, hey, look, this is what y'all used to do. But now you're washed, now you're justified, now you're sanctified, but you used to do that stuff. So Paul says, now that we've come and we've changed our lives, don't forget you used to be out there. So don't get so high up that you forget you used to run with them folks. You used to run to the same excess, but you've been saved now. So Paul says that there's not much difference between you and them. It's just now you have a relationship with God. He's washed you up and he's cleaned you up. But don't get out here acting like you done did something. And that you are somebody because God has washed you because you used to be out there. So Paul would not let himself get on that. And then Paul, as he's living now, always lets us know, I'm struggling. Paul said, whenever I want to do good, guess what? Evil's always there. Paul said, I have to buffet my body daily just to keep it in check. So we need to be real, folk. It's a struggle. We have to live. I was talking to Brother Greg about this. It came to me when I was talking about this. How many of you folk know folk with addictions? Okay? What do? Do they ever get to a point where they think they will? Get to that point. When you have gone out there and fallen off in addictions, they try to put 1 minute next to another minute sober. And they try to put those minutes and try to get through a day sober. And then they try to put a series of days together to get through a week sober. And then they try to put enough days and weeks together to get through a month sober. Then they try to put enough weeks and time together to get through a year. They go from minute to minute. They know that from this minute to the next, if they go back out there and take another drink, take some more other drugs, they're going to be right back in the same condition they were. Worse. And so I was thinking about that. I said, we as Christians, we need to live like that. Because sin is so corrosive that if we step back out there, the scripture says like us, like the hog going back to his own mire itself. It's like the dog returning to his vomit. So we got to live like that. We need to go from, can I go this minute to the next minute without cussing somebody out? Can you do it? Can I go from this minute to the next minute without thinking of negative, destructive thoughts? Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, he said, we taking all thoughts captive. Can I control my mind for this day? Okay, I got through this day. Don't think you did something because now I got to go through another day. And now I got to go through another. So we need to think just like those addicts. Yeah, we've been saved. Yeah, we've taken us out of the miry clay. He's taken us out of the pot. He done put it over here and he done put us our feet on good ground and taken us out of sin. But we still got to live every day. We got to struggle, Christians.
We got to struggle. We ain't got it all together. So don't get out there around them folk at work and let them think you got it all together. You better show them, I got some flaws too. In fact, you better show them, look, hey, I got some flaws. I ain't better than you. I'm just saved. And you could be saved too, but I'm not better than you. I'm better because Christ is in me now and I'm living this life for him, but I'm not better than you because I'm still down here struggling and sin. And I'm not going to be out of this struggle until I die and go home and be with the Father. So when you live like this, don't get no pretense. Yes, I'm out here, but I'm still in the struggle. The struggle is real. I'm out here with you. So that way, if they see you slip up, they don't like, man, Bob, man, I'm just shook, man. I never... I'm real. I'm struggling. Yes, I'm saved. And this is not the lifestyle I live, but that don't mean I can't slip. That don't mean I can't fall. But when I, but then when you do fall, don't get up and try to act like nobody saw it. Don't look around like nobody heard you say what you said. No. Just say, folks, that's not me. That's not what I do. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. And be real with it. Then you don't have to worry about falling off your high horse like some of these other folks. That's just for free. Peter says, be diligent. Be diligent that you may be found blameless, without spot, and blameless. He says in verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul said. Now, so be diligent. Next thing he says, be confident. Now, he says here, be confident, because as he going back up here, knowing this, in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? So, Peter says there was those folks in his day, and there are folks there today. They look, he ain't come back yet. Mm-hmm. Some comedians even go to the point, you know the Lord was a brother. Why? Because he late getting back. Jokes. And scoffers, mystics, folks that try to predict he's coming this day, and then when he don't come, see? So he says we need to be confident. Be confident, because there are going to be some scoffers. They're going to come up and say, where is the promise of his coming? Now, for us as Christians, Peter wants us to see that because he hasn't come, that is a sign of the salvation and the grace he has to us. So we need to look at it not as, well, when is he coming? And see, because in the book of Hebrews, those Christians were like that. Those Christians had given up and quit their jobs and were just going to sit around. We're just going to wait for the Lord. They weren't even assembling themselves in the assembly. And so then the Hebrew writer has to say, not forsaking the assembly. He wasn't talking about just Lord's Day. They had just quit altogether. So the Hebrew writer has to say, not forsaking of the assembling of yourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as you see the day, not Sunday, but the great day, this day when the heavens and the earth will melt with fervent heat, as you see that day approaching. So don't go sit down just sitting there, where's the Lord coming? Keep on going, keep on assembling, and keep on encouraging and exhorting one another as you're looking forward to that day, that great day and time. So that's what he's saying. So for us, Peter wants us to know that, beloved, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. So every day that the Lord don't come, the Lord is long suffering to us. That's another day. As Paul himself was saying in 1 Timothy 2 and 4, that God, what? He would want all of us to what? Come into the knowledge of the truth. Peter says it here in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's what? Long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So every day the Lord is not here, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Not necessarily for you if you know you're in the right condition, but man, there's some folk out there still looking. There's some folks still out there seeking. There's some of your friends you still trying to talk to. There's some of your relatives you still trying to get saved. So you say, thank you, Jesus, you ain't come today, because that's another day I can go talk to somebody. There's another day that somebody can get themselves right. And so scoffers will say, well, see, he ain't coming. Well, he didn't come today. That means he probably ain't coming. He said, let them scoffers get to you. Be confident, because every day that the Lord doesn't come, it's salvation, because he's not slack concerning his promises. Paul said that he wants us all to come into the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. So he says, he referenced, as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He points to Paul. Also, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. So he said, brother Paul said the same thing I've said. Brother Paul has spoken to you and said some of the same thing, that don't get caught up with scoffers who doubt the Lord, because the Lord is indeed coming. But the Lord is long-suffering, and that is, it is his salvation. It's a sign of his grace toward us, that every day that he don't come, you ought to be thankful. See, you know, at school, Sister Valerie, we give tests. You know, and that test day is coming, and every day kids come in. Are we testing today? Did I tell you last week we was testing? No, but I just see they don't know. See, I done told them when the test is, but they didn't write it down. So every day they come in, we testing today? No, we not testing today. We still, I thought we was testing today. Because they know they ain't studying. They know they're not ready. So every day, are we testing? Are we testing today? And then on the day that the day that the test day comes, I come here, we testing. Well, you didn't tell us we was testing. What did you tell? Well, we deal with. And so we can't get him caught up with those who are scoffers, because we know that every day he don't come, that's a sign of the Lord's salvation. That's his long suffering to us. And so we need to be thankful for it and say, thank you, Lord, that you didn't come today. Because even as we look not only at some other folks, we need to look at ourselves, Lord, thank you, because yesterday I was undone. Lord, yesterday I went to bed with some sin on my heart. Lord, yesterday I went and I hadn't prayed and asked for forgiveness. Lord, I hadn't come to you and asked to forgive me for any sins that I might have done by omission or commission. There's some things that we commit, we know we did it. And there's some things that we did by omission, we don't know. But either way, you need to be praying every night so that you can wake up the next day. So every day you wake up, thank you, Lord. That's a sign of your salvation. As Peter points to Paul, as he had also understood and talks about those things, he said, Paul talks about they were hard, some things are hard to be understood. All right, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. So he talks about unstable, unlearned, people who are ignorant. People who are ignorant, in other words, people who are stupid. People who are ignorant and stupid. They don't know. They unlearn. They don't have a knowledge of God because they're not seeking after God. They're not trying to get life. And so when you don't have a knowledge of God, you're not seeking after God, trying to get that knowledge. You know what God will do? God will make it so that you can't understand it. God will make it to where it's a mystery to you because you don't want to know it. You don't want to know it. Just like when you was at home and your mother had told you something to do, and you know what she said, but you didn't want to know it. So you didn't go do it. So you try to act like you didn't know it. Yeah. Until she come in there, all of a sudden the strap come out. Ooh, oh, yes, Mom, I know you told me to do this. See, when the bell come out, then your mind all of a sudden, oh, yes, I remember. Yeah, we get to talk. Yeah, I remember what you said, and you want me to do this. It's too late now. Too late now. We try to act like, no, you never said that. I don't remember that. Then the bell, oh, God, yes, I remember. Yeah. See, the unlearned, they don't want to know, and so they don't know. So Peter says, those that are unlearned, they're unstable. And so because they're unlearned and they're unstable, they're ignorant, they rest as they do also the other scriptures. That means they take them. Resting means he takes, you people take them and they twist the scriptures. They twist them and they turn them to their own destruction. They twist them and turn them and try to make them say what they want them to say. They try to make them mean what they want them to mean. They wrest the scriptures because what? They unstable and they unlearn. So they take those, but Peter says it is to their own destruction that they do this. Let me find, I also got the Easy Living Bible, and it says over about this. This is also what our dear friend Paul said when he wrote you with the wisdom that God had given him. Paul talks about these same things in all the letters, but part of what he says is hard to understand. Some ignorant and unsteady people even destroy themselves by twisting what he said. They do the same thing with other scriptures too. So Peter said, they take them, they twist them, they twist them up. And so this, when you get with people who are taking and twisting the scriptures, they unlearn.
They're unstable. He says they're unstable and they're unlearned because they twist the scriptures to their own destruction. All right? So we need to be diligent. We need to be confident. And so because of these unstable and unlearned people, we need to be on guard. Now, that is a military term, be on guard. If you was in the military, but Cliff, you had to do guard duty, you know, around the quarters, you had to be on guard. Does that mean you're supposed to be asleep at 3 in the morning? If you got the belt and the flashlight, you're supposed to be, other people are sleeping, and so you're awake so that they can go to sleep, Brother Mahone. You're supposed to be walking around, checking, making sure the doors are secure. You're supposed to be making, we had to go do check of the cans, make sure none of the rags that we use to clean caught on fire. And make sure everything is safe. Make sure everybody's good. And then you're supposed to be at that door in case somebody come up there in the middle of the night and want to get entrance. And if they do, you better make sure they have the right credentials and they show the right authority, that they have authority to come in there. You're supposed to be on guard. And so this is what Peter says. Be on guard for these type of folks because they're unstable, they're unlearned. Be on guard. Be watchful. Be aware of these kind of folks. Be ready. Don't act like they ain't going to never come to you because they are. You with them every day. You see them. You hear them every day. So that means be watchful. Be on guard. Only when you're dealing with folks, be watchful about what you hear. Be watchful when you turn on TV and you let it sit on that channel for a minute. Don't let them folk preach to you. Brother Greg said when these folk come and knock on your door in your house, don't let them in. Don't let them in. Because most of you all are not astute enough to handle them. Yes. Now, if you got me and Brother Maxwell or Brother Bob or Greg, and those as learned that we can deal with them and we know their stuff as well as they know their stuff. See, Brother Greg and others, we got their books, we got their literature, and we read their stuff so that when they come at us, we can come right back. And we can confound them with stuff that they said in their own literature. But you come in there unaware and want to try to sit down and have a talk, they'll end up trying to convert you. Yes. So be on guard. Don't let them in. If you know you're not stable enough, you just barely in the word yourself, don't go sit down and try to have a conversation with these experts. No. Don't do it. Be on guard. Be watchful. Be wary what Peter says. Then Peter says that we need to be aware. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfast. So now he says, beware, be aware. Now you're not going, he's not talking about us falling from grace and falling from salvation. He said that you might fall from your own steadfastness. Paul told us in Romans to what? Be ye steadfast. Romans chapter 8, be ye steadfast. 8. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain. So you can fall from your own steadfastness if you're not weary. Lest they come unto you unaware, and you being led away with error of the wicked. Look to your left and look to your right. There's some folk in here who are falling away. There's some folk in here who are steadfast. I'm thinking about some people right now. I can see some faces. They used to sit here. They used to sit over there. They used to sit over there. They were steadfast. They looked strong. But why did they fall away? Why did they fall from their steadfast? We need to find that out. They may have been led away with error of the wicked. How can somebody that was in our midst, strong and steadfast, all of a sudden wind up out there in error? You say, how can that happen? It can happen real easy. It can happen real easy. Look at Jesus. He had 12 people. One of them sat right next to him, dipped in his plate, but was conspiring with the very enemies that wanted to crucify him. That's one of his home, one of his boys. Not somebody out there. This is one of the people right next to him. Had the audacity to sit right there, and then when Jesus said something, Lord, is it me? Yes, it's you. Yeah, it's you. It's you. Judas, go and do what you're doing. Do it quickly. And he got on up out of there. Judas, yeah, it's you. It's you. And so the other disciples are like, wow, how can you do that? Because Judas was a zealot. Paul talks about in Romans 10, those that are zealous, but not according to knowledge. He was a zealot. He was expecting that Jesus was going to come and set up a physical kingdom, and that they were going to pick up weapons, and they were going to pick up arms, and they was going to go do battle with the Romans and knock them out, and that Jesus was going to come back and sit on David's throne. And when Jesus always, and then, but he got disappointed because Jesus stopped saying, like, my kingdom is not of this world.
If my kingdom was of this world, when he told Pilate, then would my soldiers come and do battle. But my kingdom's not of this world. My meat is to do the will of my Father. So after a while, you know, Judas started checking him out. I was like, man, this guy ain't looking like what I want him to look like. He ain't the one. And so he got disappointed. And he went to his enemies and conspired with them and took money to be the one to point him out. Now that whole thing is ridiculous because they knew who Jesus was. Jesus said, y'all see me every day. I preach to you. Why you need me? But we needed one of his homeboys to point him out, to give him the kiss and say, he's the one. Because they wanted to legally have themselves together so when they go to court, his own boy that was with him pointed him out. No, we didn't just arrest somebody. No, we arrested somebody that his own people said he was the one. But it can happen, folks. So we have folks here. We baptize them, we get them in here, they look steadfast, and then you turn around, and they've been led away with the error of the wicked. And they fall from their own steadfastness. And so Peter's saying, don't fall from your steadfastness. Don't get led away. It only takes, how much error does it take to lead you away? Not a lot. Doesn't take a whole lot. How much error did it take for Satan to get Adam and Eve to disobey God? He just took a couple modifiers. God said, you will not die. It didn't take much. He said the same thing God said, but with not in it. Didn't take a whole lot. The scripture said a little leaven the whole lot. How much leaven do you need to make some bread? Not much. Not much. Because stuff like that is corrosive, and a little bit of it will do a lot of damage. How much acid do you need to be burnt? A little bit. You need a whole dropper full? Or you need just a little dropper will hurt just a... So you don't need much of a corrosive, destructive agent to do its job. So you don't need much error. And in fact, the less error you have, the better it is. See, if I come out with a whole lot of error, then it's like, man, this is wrong. But if I just take a little bit and just mix it in, then suddenly I'm mixing in a little error, and I keep mixing in a little error. And before you know it, I just get you. And you keep getting led away. I don't come at you all at once. I don't hit you with all the lies at once. I get you get here and a little bit over there and over here. And then while you think about that, I hit you with something else. Before you know it, you're gone. So don't take a whole lot of error to lead us away. And so being led away by our own error and being led away with the error of the wicked, we can fall from our own steadfastness. So Peter has told us, be diligent in living a spotless and blameless life. Be confident in the coming of the Lord. Don't let those scoffers, you know, realize that every day that the Lord doesn't come back, it's part of his salvation. Be on guard for those who are unstable, and try to get you and to lead you away from your own steadfastness. And be aware, and that's what he's saying here in verse 17, be aware lest you being led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. And then now finally, as he closes out this letter, the very last things he's going to say to the Christians, he said, but we must grow in grace and we must grow in knowledge. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right? Grow in grace and knowledge. The same thing from the English translation, let the wonderful kindness and the understanding that come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ help to keep you on growing. So grow in grace and grow in knowledge. There are two things. Now, some of us, we grow in one, but we won't grow in the other. Yeah. Some of us, we grow in knowledge, but we don't grow in grace. And so to grow in knowledge and not have grace, that's dangerous. And to grow in grace and not grow in knowledge is dangerous. And so the challenge that we have is that we got to do both of them at the same time. Yeah. We've got to grow in grace and we've got to grow in knowledge. We can't pick one or the other. Well, I'm gonna just do this. Like we do a lot of times, we pick, okay, this seems to be the easier thing to do. I'll do that to the exclusion of this. And Peter said, you need them both. You got to grow in grace, and you have to grow in knowledge. So what does it mean to grow in grace and grow in knowledge? Let's look at what it means to grow in knowledge. We have to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to grow in our knowledge, not just our biblical knowledge, but to grow in the knowledge of him. We need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. We need to read, yes. We need to read books. We need to read sentences. We need to equip ourselves so that the evil day we may be ready to stand.
We need to read for the sake of our children. We need to grow in our knowledge for the sake of our teenage children and college children who have questions and more questions. We need to provide them as good parents with answers to these questions. We need to keep on growing. We don't need to reach a plateau. Some of us have reached a plateau. We didn't learn all we gonna learn. We need to keep on assimilating all the facts and all the truths that God has revealed. I think that if we could do it all over again, we would want to know our Bible better. Because that's the book we need. We need to keep on growing. And so if you get here and you feel, and you get here, you don't walk away with something new every week, you're not growing. If you don't come out of here, I don't care if a Brother Maxwell, Brother Bob, as many times as we hear these scriptures, don't we still get something new? Every time we've heard these scriptures over and over and somebody else preach them, we still take home something new. Like, man, I never thought about it like that. I never considered that. But every time we hear the preacher, because we try to grow, so we take home something new. If you're not trying to grow, you're like, yeah, I heard that before. Didn't he preach that last week? And then some of y'all, because the only time you're going to hear something is when you sit in here. You don't go home and do no studying on your own. You don't come to no other classes. You don't come to no other assemblings. So the only time, and so 30 to 40 minutes a week is all you going to get. Now, how you going to grow? You don't eat that. You don't eat one time a week. We eat several times every day. So how are we going to expect to grow in grace and knowledge if the only time you're going to eat is when you come here? And it's when we serving you. When do you go home and open the book for yourself and try to eat and get some knowledge? And then when you come back here with what you ate, and then you come back here and try to put some application to it. What else? We're just trying to give you some applications, try to polish you up. We're not here to fill you up. We're just here to give you a little taste of something so that you can go back out there and feed and study on your own. You can't get it all from us. You can't get it all from a sermon. You can't get it all from Brother Mike's class. We can give you some. Now, if you're studying on your own, hopefully what we're doing is putting a topping, putting the icing on what you already doing. But if you're not studying, then that means you expecting us to bake the cake. Bake the cake and put the icing on it. And it's not going to do it. You ain't going to grow. I'm sorry to use the ain't, but you just ain't going to grow. Not like you need to grow. You're going to grow in little spurts, but you're not going to grow like your children grow. Peter told us, like, in the first part of the book, and First Peter, like, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. The key word in there is what? Desire. You ever had a baby that's hungry? He desires the milk. And if you keep it from him, he will wake up the whole neighborhood to let y'all know it's time to eat some milk. He will let everybody know, you and everybody. You might try to get some extra sleep, but you ain't going to sleep too long, Brother Mahone. You're going to get up and get that baby some milk. And then in the early stages, that baby, you feed him, and by the time you clean up the bottle and go sit down for a minute, they're ready to eat again. And then you get that, somebody, I'm just on a constant cycle of feeding them and then taking what comes out in diapers. That's all you doing, eating and changing diapers. But they desire the milk because they trying to grow. Their little bodies is trying to grow. And so Peter makes that same analogy that we need to be desiring the sincere milk of the word so that we can grow. You got to want it. You got to want it. And unfortunately, some of us, just because we come here don't mean you all want it. You just come here because you know it's right, it's the right thing to do, but do you really want it? Do you really desire it? And if you want it, you will find every way you can to get it and put it in your life. Not only coming here, you'll be trying to study, you'll be trying to go online, you'll be trying to get everything. It's interesting to see new converts when they come in here. Boy, you should go spend some time with Terrence. I don't mean to pick him up. Spend some time with that brother. He'll make you want to go study. Because he's coming in here, he's quoting scriptures that senior experienced folk should know. He quoting them. And you go someplace, and a lot of times people know the New Testament, and you go to the Old Testament. He right there, oh yeah, Samuel. Oh yeah, but studying. Check his backpack. I ain't picking on you, Terrence. Check his backpack. Got some Bibles in there. They go everywhere with him. Because he want to grow. You want to grow. And so we can look at some new converts. They put us to shame because they're new. They're that new baby. They want to grow, man. They just trying. They can't get enough of it. We old Christians, we don't need it. I come in here and sit in class and look like we are astute, and we don't want it like they want it. We don't desire it like they desire it. They want it. They can't get enough of it, man. Every time we sit around, they sitting there. Every time you get in a conversation, they ain't talking about Dallas Cowboys. They ain't talking about football. Man, what did Paul mean when he said this? What did it mean when he said that? They talking about this stuff. And we can talk about those other things. But new babes, they want, man, what does it mean over here? Let's talk about that. That's the stuff they won't talk about. Because that's where they at. They want to grow. And so Peter says we need to grow in grace. We need to grow in grace. We need to understand grace. We need to understand the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and in worldly lust. That's the grace of God. We need to understand his grace. It's appeared and it's come to all men. So we need to grow in grace, in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter, in the early part of the book, talked about those seven virtues, those seven graces that we need to add. Paul talked about them as well, that we need to add to ourselves these virtues and graces that we can make ourselves. Paul talks about them as far as he calls them the fruit of the Spirit. It proves that you have the Spirit in you if you have those virtues. Peter talks about these virtues. But that's growing in grace. And then growing in knowledge. Not just to know, just knowing the Bible, but just growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ, Jesus Christ. It's a deeper level. And so we grow in those. And we have to do them together. You can't have one up here and your knowledge down here. You can't have your knowledge up here and your grace. They need to be together. They need to be equal. We need to be growing in both areas. And so as we look at going into next year, my hope for you all and I hope for myself and hope for all of us is that we can grow in grace, that we can grow in knowledge, that we can be diligent in trying to live a spotless and blameless life, that we can be on guard for those who are false teachers and those who would teach error, that we can be aware lest we be led astray from our own steadfastness, and that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. The lesson is yours. You can go back and study. There's a rich book, the whole book of 1 Peter, and he talks about those false teachers and all those things he's dealing with. But that's at the end, it gives you a nutshell of those things that he already covered in the book, that he wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he pronounced a final blessing on us at the end of that chapter. These are some of the last words that Peter would say before and be able to write to us before he'd be crucified. And those words, they go down to those that were there in the first century, and they even come down to us in the 21st century, and they encourage us. And we hope this morning that you will be encouraged by these words that Peter said, that you hopefully get something out of them, and that they will encourage you as you go. And if the Lord bless us all to see the next year, that they will encourage you as you go into the next year. That you will put it at one of your goals will be to grow in grace. I'm going to grow in grace. I'm going to grow in knowledge. I'm going to want God's word more. I'm going to seek after God's word. I'm going to try, seek while it may be found. Because you might get to a point where you can't find it no more. There are a lot of people. Do you know that there are a lot of our brothers? I talked to Brother Bailey. So desperately wants to be here. But just because of physical ailment, can't be here. Who knows that tomorrow, next week, you somewhere laid up and you can't get here. You take it for granted that you just come here. But you may be someplace where you can't get here. You may be someplace where you can't pick up the word and read. And now you're going to need somebody to come read to you. Like, man, all that time I wasted, I could have been reading. Now I want to read and I can't. Now I got to get somebody to come in here and read. Life can turn just as quick on a dime. And one thing we can say, as we go through these final weeks, don't want to be scare you, but everybody that's sitting in this room may not all get back in this room or get back in a place where we're all together. That's right. It's not going to happen. Because time and prudence is going to take some of us away. There's going to be some unexpected. Those of you in the church, we know that some of our brothers and sisters, we lost them unexpectedly. We lost them. Didn't know. Didn't plan. All of a sudden, you get woke up with a call. So-and-so's gone. Say what? I just saw him 2 weeks ago. They gone. So we need to be prepared for that. Be prepared. As Peter said, let me be prepared because the day of the Lord is a certainty. Don't let skeptics and mystics take the day of the Lord. It's going to come. And it's going. And as Peter said, Jesus said it himself, it's going to sneak up on you like a thief in the night. Death
Catastrophic illness, sickness is going to sneak up on you like a thief in the night. It's down the street. You just don't know. It's around the corner for some of us. We just don't know. And so for us, it's not to scare us, but for us to live spotless and blameless, to be diligent, to be on guard, and to be aware so that we can be ready when the Lord comes. We can be ready. We won't have to be in fear of that day. And if something does befall us, and something does happen to us, we can have a good attitude. Right. And like Paul said, hey, I've lived my life in good conscience before God. I've tried to do what I need to do. So when that time comes, or when you have to face some of them catastrophic situations, ain't that right, Brother Max? We was there together. I looked at my brother. He was facing it. And thank God he came through on the other side. But he faced it this year, Brother Max. He faced it. And Lord willing, he'll see 2018, but it give him a new, you got a new perspective, Brother Max, don't you? New perspective. It's a new day. It's a new day. You come through that valley of the shadow of, like David said, Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they do comfort me. Thou do prepare the table for me in the presence of my enemies. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Is this the year? We don't know. But Peter's given us a word: grow in grace, knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. This morning invitation is yours. I don't know if this is the last invitation you're going to hear. Hopefully you'll be here next week. Hopefully you'll be here the next week after that. You know, or unless you travel, but I hope you get to hear another invitation. But if it ain't, are you ready? If this was the last invitation you hear of 2017, are you ready to see him? Are you ready to look? Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to be forever. Of his saving grace. Is this the last Sunday you're going to see him? Don't hesitate. Like, well, I'll be back next week. Let's grow in grace and patience. If you're here, if you're subject to the invitation anyway, if you walk contrary to the Lord and you just, I need to get back and get right so that I can grow in grace and knowledge, the invitation is for you to come down and ask for prayer, for strength, to ask for forgiveness. If you are outside the body of Christ, you can come hearing that Jesus Christ died for your sin, believing that he died and he went to the cross of Calvary for you and me so that we can have a right to the tree of life. And then you can come down and you can repent. I repent of all those things that I've done. I renounce those things. And now I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then with that, we baptize you in the water of graver baptism to put you into Christ. And you will put on Christ. You will become a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then you can be a new man in Christ. And that you can go through the rest of this year. And hopefully, Lord willing, see the next year. And then you can start on that path of growing in the knowledge of the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we together stand and sing, if you're subject to the invitation anyway, we invite you to come on.
Hear this, oh, wow.